From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. The sound of Veterans Day ceremonies at a U.S. Army base in South Korea today, where President Obama has paid tribute to the men and women who've served the nation in the military, especially those who fought in the Korean War.
We remember. We remember your courage. We remember your sacrifice. The legacy of your service lives on in a free and prosperous Republic of Korea.
Earlier, the president met with his South Korean counterpart, but they failed to reach agreement on a free trade accord between the two countries. President Obama says he's confident a pact can be hammered out over the next several weeks. The number of homes repossessed by lenders has registered its sharpest drop this year, declining 9% last month. But Daniel Carson says that was mainly because of the temporary freeze on foreclosures by some major lenders.
Realty Tracks' Rick Sharga says keeping a lid on foreclosure filings isn't helping the housing market.
The overwhelming majority of homeowners whose loans are affected by this foreclosure freeze are almost inevitably on their way to being foreclosed on. So a two-month reprieve really isn't going to give them the time they need to dig themselves out of that deep of a hole.
Nevada, Florida, and Arizona continue to post the highest number of foreclosures, although the housing picture brightened somewhat in Las Vegas, which bucked the trend by seeing prices go up slightly. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson in Washington.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is criticizing Israel's plan to build more apartments in disputed parts of Jerusalem. NPR's Michelle Kellerman says Clinton will be discussing that issue when she meets with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this morning in New York.
Clinton says the U.S. was deeply disappointed by the housing announcement, which came as she's been trying to revive peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians.
This announcement was counterproductive to our efforts to resume negotiations between the parties. We have long urged both parties to avoid actions which could undermine trust.
On the eve of her meeting with Netanyahu, she also announced $150 million in aid to the Palestinian Authority to help close a budget deficit and to keep the Palestinians on track for eventual statehood. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
The crippled cruise ship that's being towed to San Diego is expected to arrive in port within a couple of hours. The Carnival Splendor lost propulsion and most of its power earlier this week after a fire broke out in its engine room. There are more than 3,000 passengers aboard, including David Zambrano.
People have been a little frustrated here and there, but overall in good spirits and overall very happy.
Zambrano says after days of cold water, Spam, and Pop-Tarts, he's looking forward to a hot shower and a hot meal. Carnival says it will give the passengers a ticket for another cruise. This is NPR News from Washington. A new report warns that serious attention must be paid to risks and dangers of offshore oil drilling in the Arctic. NPR's Paul Brown says the nonprofit Pew Environment Group is making recommendations aimed at preventing an oil spill there as bad or worse than the one in the Gulf of Mexico.
Pew says Arctic waters are far more challenging for safe drilling than warm weather areas. For one thing, the Arctic Ocean is remote.
The closest Coast Guard station is 1,000 miles away. The ocean has moving sea ice, sub-zero temperatures, brutal storms.
That's Marilyn Hyman, director of the study group's U.S. Arctic program. She says oil companies need to prove their response capabilities before getting approval to drill.
To ensure that there's enough equipment and trained personnel to be available to respond to a worst-case spill in these conditions.
The Pew report recommends thorough study of oil drilling impact on Arctic wildlife and human communities that depend on it. Paul Brown, NPR News.
Retailers in Washington State have 1 week to clear millions of dollars worth of alcoholic energy drinks off their shelves now that state regulators have banned the beverages. Brian Smith, a spokesman for the Washington State Liquor Control Board, says the drinks, sold under brand names such as Four Loko, are dangerous.
The very concept of this product is to get really wired, get really drunk. I mean, we're talking 5-6 cans of beer or 5-6 bottles of beer, 3 or 4 cups of coffee, mixed together in a single can that you can buy for under $3.
Smith says the state acted after 9 college students who drank Four Loko were hospitalized there with dangerously high blood alcohol levels. One of the students nearly died. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR.